We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
South Dakota Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
All right, we take a break from the calls for a little bit. We'll get right back to them after this guest spot here. We welcome in Warren Sharp from Sharp Football Analysis and Football Stats. Warren, we appreciate you taking a couple minutes here ahead of this championship Sunday. Let me start with this. Is this a time where the Titans can be one of those teams to go 9-7 in the regular season and then all of a sudden go on a historic run and get themselves to a Super Bowl? Are we looking at that type of season from that type of team with this Tennessee Titans team?
I think we are. I think it's certainly a possibility that they are able to get there. They only have to win one more game and they're there. And they've found the right path. The right path, fortunately for them, has been to play and have the good fortune, and it takes fortune in all these cases, to be able to go up against two teams, the Baltimore Ravens and the New England Patriots, who lack for wide receiving talent. And those teams, Julian Edelman, very good wide receiver, Marquise Brown for the Ravens, very good wide receiver. But beyond that, they don't really have a lot of guys at the wide receiver position. And so guess what happens when the Tennessee Titans build a little bit of a lead and start running the ball and having a little bit of success in that second half? Those opponents, the Baltimore Ravens, the New England Patriots, get scared. They start trying to trot out 11 personnel, which is three wide receivers. They do nothing but try to throw the football from three wide receiver sets, and they're completely not built to do that. And it just took that convergence of factors to get them to play those two teams. But against the Kansas City Chiefs, it's a little bit different because, as you and I both know, Kansas City has a great stable of wide receivers, certainly better than the Ravens, certainly better than the Patriots. And if, in fact, the Titans build up a lead and are doing well running the football, this Kansas City Chiefs offense and this passing attack is definitely going to be able to bring them back into the game and try to take the lead, just like they were able to do last week against the Houston Texans.
Right. Now, I understand that Tennessee is better than Houston. I know the Texans won the division, but right now Tennessee is on fire. The way they're running the football, they're more of a threat than Houston was to Kansas City. But you just talked about it, Warren. That's exactly why I was asking you, can this 9-7 team go on a run and beat a team like the Chiefs? I mean, the Chiefs didn't have the best regular season, but really they turned it around midway through. Mahomes got healthy. You know how the defense turned around. And they're explosive. This is not the New England Patriots. This is not the Ravens playing from behind. The Ravens playing from behind and playing from ahead are two different teams. This is the Chiefs, who are loaded. They can play some solid defense, and they're going to score with the best of them. Can Ryan Tannehill throw the ball 15 or 17 times and beat Kansas City? I have a hard time buying that.
I agree with you. He's probably going to be in a situation where he needs to pass the football more than that. I definitely concur there. I think this is going to be an uphill battle for the Tennessee Titans. Now, we've seen them do it before, but it is a different beast here going up against Kansas City in Arrowhead with this type of offense. The biggest things that the Tennessee Titans do that a lot of people don't realize that they do is they lead the NFL, they're top five in the NFL, in pre-snap motion rate, which is the motion of wide receivers shifting around and helping identify coverage for the quarterback. They're number five in the pre-snap motion rate and play action rate. So these are two things that are analytically intelligent for offenses to utilize to help gain an advantage over the defense before the quarterback even has to throw the football. The problem is that the Kansas City Chiefs defense is the best defense in the NFL against play action, and they are top five in the NFL against pre-snap motion. And the Tennessee Titans have gone up against a variety of defenses over the last month to 6 weeks that really are bad against pre-snap motion, and now they're going up against a defense that's really good against pre-snap motion. So I think it is going to be an uphill battle, not just only the obvious things that are on the surface, but as you dive down deeper, it's a difficult matchup for Ryan Tannehill and this Tennessee Titans offense to have success, because this Chiefs defense has largely been underrated this season.
Now, you bring up, and we're talking about Warren Sharp of SharpFootballAnalysis.com, SharpFootballStats.com. You bring up the motion and, you know, all the different looks that the Titans will do out there, or to find out what the defense is throwing at their quarterback. And you throw out, okay, well, the Chiefs are the best defense in play action and all those different things. And against motion, is that coaching? Is that analytics? Or is it a combination of both?
That really, to be honest, is coaching.
Right.
You know, this defense is very well disciplined and very intelligent. They do clearly a lot of film study to understand what these motions are trying to generate, so they're better. They can anticipate them a little bit better. Generally, league-wide, when you use play action, you're going to increase your efficiency. When you use pre-snap motion, you're going to increase your efficiency. Some teams, and I study all these numbers, are a little bit more susceptible to being abused using play action, or to be abused using pre-snap motion. The Green Bay Packers defense is one of those. But the Kansas City Chiefs defense has been coached really well, and they do not react to those things. And they're one of the best in the league against them.
Now, how about the regular season, Warren? Do you put anything into that matchup in Week 10 where Tennessee beat Kansas City in Kansas City?
I do, from the perspective that it certainly seemed like Derrick Henry is capable of running on this defense, and that is the weakness of the Kansas City Chiefs. You can run the football on them a little bit. And so from that perspective, I think things are going to be okay early on for the Tennessee Titans. But here is the key factor. If you're the Kansas City Chiefs defense, can you do one of two things? Can you either limit Derrick Henry's explosive runs? It's okay if he gains 4, 5, 6 yards, but you can't let him get that 25, 39-yard clip, right? You can't let him flip the field like that so quickly. And then number two, this Tennessee Titans offense is number one in the red zone. They're the best in the league. They're performing in the red zone and scoring touchdowns at an unsustainable rate. Can you, the Kansas City Chiefs defense, hold them down from that a little bit? Can you bring them back to earth a little bit? If you can do one of those two things, the way I envision this game playing out is that the Kansas City Chiefs lead will slowly start to grow over the course of the first quarter, into the second quarter, into the third quarter, and eventually the Tennessee Titans will have to abandon a little bit of what's worked so well. I don't see them abandoning the run game if they're down by 10, but if they're down by 13 late in the third quarter, mid-third quarter, they're certainly going to be passing the ball a lot more. The Chiefs are not going to be biting on any of that play action, and I think it's really going to bode well for the Kansas City Chiefs defense. So I do value the regular season meeting, because I do think Derrick Henry will have success running the football. But if you limit their upside, and if you, as the Chiefs, can extend the lead a little bit here, then you're going to be able to minimize their ability to run the football late in the game.
Yeah, you look, Warren, you're the analytics guy. We're talking about Warren Sharp of SharpFootballAnalysis.com, SharpFootballStats.com. You're the analytics and stats guy, and I'm just the guy who's watching it, but I think we agree on this one. Look, the Titans can really only beat the Chiefs, to me, in one scenario. That is if they just completely control the game on the ground, drive the football, keep it away from the Chiefs, and the limited opportunities that the Chiefs do have, they need to make sure they stop them defensively, and that's it. They cannot beat them in the other scenarios where Kansas City has the ball and is able to score explosively, and then Kansas City able to come back on the Titans. If the Chiefs get out in front, Titans are done, as far as I'm concerned in this game. Do the analytics tell you the same?
Yeah, look, the Chiefs are a team, the only way that they can sabotage themselves here, in my opinion, if they are the ones with the lead, is if they choose to get ultra-conservative like Andy Reid has done historically in the past and start to run the ball, and they're not really a run team, and they really need to just pass the ball, have the ball control style of offense in the fourth quarter with a lead by throwing the football as opposed to turning to the run game. But I definitely concur with you. I think that more often than not, when this game is played out, the Kansas City Chiefs emerge – the victors at home, and maybe they even do so by more than the 7 point. Point spread.
Oh, come on, Warren. I can't let you give me that. They either do or they don't. Come on, Warren. What side are you on here? Giving the 7 or taking it?
I'm going to give the 7, but my favorite recommendation on this game, which I took earlier this week, is I took over 51 points. I think there are going to be points scored here. I think both teams are going to do enough to get over that hurdle. The total has moved up to 53 now. I don't really see a lot of value based upon my model at 53 currently, but I certainly wouldn't be looking to play this one under that full game total.
All right, on to the NFC, and we're talking with Warren Sharp here. As we mentioned, sharpfootballanalysis.com, sharpfootballstats.com. On to the NFC here, we know the Niners can run the football. They could do a little through the air. They've played tremendous defense going up against a Packers team who, with the Smith brothers, have played great defense themselves. They could run the football more so than they have in years past, and they have the special player, the best player on the field, in Aaron Rodgers. What do you like statistically about this matchup? And tell me maybe the numbers would favor which team.
Well, so statistically, I look at this game. I obviously know that these two teams met earlier this season and that the San Francisco 49ers really had their way with this Green Bay Packers defense. They put up 37 points. Obviously, I don't see the Green Bay Packers offense throwing up another performance like they did. So I think the game's going to be a little bit closer from that perspective. But a lot of people are acting as if the San Francisco 49ers offense, that was kind of a fluky performance, and they aren't doing it quite as well as they did against the Green Bay Packers defense. I have a little bit of a different take here, because I studied that game, and there are three things that the San Francisco 49ers offense does extremely well, which the Green Bay Packers defense, even though it is top 10 against the pass, struggles tremendously to stop. The first thing is passing between the numbers. The Green Bay Packers defense is terrible when offenses throw the ball between the numbers. The Seattle Seahawks last week had great success throwing the ball between the numbers, but they're not a team that uses that type of passing offense much. They're throwing the ball outside the numbers. In fact, Seattle throws the ball least of any offense between the numbers. The 49ers throw the ball the most of any offense between the numbers. So they're going to be attacking the interior of that secondary, which is their weak point. Number two, we talked about it earlier, pre-snap motion. Seattle does not use a lot of pre-snap motion. The San Francisco 49ers use pre-snap motion on 66% of their passes. That's the number one in the NFL, well above the league average. And the Green Bay Packers defense is very heavily influenced when opposing offenses utilize pre-snap motion. And lastly, play action. I also mentioned that one before when we were talking about the Chiefs. Play action here, another big advantage. The 49ers use it more than any offense in the NFL. Teams are having a ton of success going up against Green Bay using play action. Green Bay's defense struggles to defend play action. And then the thing that I look at, I'm looking at the second half numbers and how the Green Bay Packers defense is really bad when you throw to the middle of the field or you use play action or pre-snap motion. But then I'm looking at the quarterbacks that they've faced. I mean, yes, Russell Wilson, brilliant. He averaged almost 9 yards an attempt and a 68% success rate. But prior to that, you're taking David Blau, Kirk Cousins, but he's in prime time. Mitchell Trubisky, Dwayne Haskins, and Daniel Jones. That's three rookies right there that I listed, plus Mitchell Trubisky. I mean, they have gone up against a very easy slate of opposing quarterbacks. Not that I love Jimmy G. Not that I really trust Jimmy G with the ball in his hands late to rally you from behind or not make any mistakes at all during the course of the game. But I think this Green Bay Packers defense, though they rank top 10 against the pass, can be exploited, and I think the 49ers and Kyle Shanahan will find ways to do that.
That's fascinating breakdown right there. Analytically, it sounds like you favor the Niners here. Can the Packers' offensive line hold up against that Niners pass rush to be able to give Rodgers time to throw the football down the field?
I think they're going to be really hit and miss. There's going to be a lot of variance. There's going to be times when there's quick pressure and Rodgers has to get rid of the ball or he eats a sack, and there's going to be times when his offensive line, which is a very good pass protection offensive line, will give him enough time, and he's going to be able to roll the pocket to left or right or use play action to try to help keep that pass rush at bay a little bit, and they're going to be able to throw the football down the field. So I definitely think that there are some upsides and some advantages. There were a lot of self-inflicted wounds for the Green Bay Packers offense in that game back earlier in the season. I think it was week 10 or week 12. that I don't see that same scenario playing out here. I think there's going to be adjustments made by Matt LaFleur and this Green Bay Packers offense. I also wouldn't be surprised if Aaron Rodgers runs a little bit. If you look at the Green Bay Packers, if you look at the San Francisco 49ers defense and you look at the teams that have caused them the most trouble this year, it's been teams that can actually have a quarterback who runs the football a little bit. If you're talking about the Seattle Seahawks with Russell Wilson, if you're talking about Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals, there have been some teams that if their quarterback can move about the pocket and gain a little bit on the ground, those are the teams that are hanging a little bit tighter with the San Francisco 49ers. So I look for Aaron Rodgers. He's got a really low rushing yards total. His prop is 12.5 rushing yards.
I think there's
a little bit of value in going over that. Yep.
12.5? Oh, my goodness. I'm definitely betting that. I wouldn't even think of that until you just said it. How is he not going to? He could do that on one run. And I do think you're right. Those could be backbreaking plays when a quarterback, not a design run, but a broken down pass play on, say, a crucial third down, Rodgers escapes and, you know, gains 20 yards or so on a big run, keeps the drive alive. And I think Rodgers' magic here will beat stats, analytics, and all that stuff. Give me your prediction, final prediction, Warren, before we let you go about this game here. Which way are you going with the point spread?
I actually, on this one, I like the 49ers, but I think 7.5 is too rich because there's so much of a backdoor here for Aaron Rodgers to work with. But I just don't love the matchup whatsoever. I really think it favors, I didn't even talk about the rushing matchup here for the 49ers run offense against this Packers run defense, which is a much bigger matchup even than the passing advantage. So I'm actually doing nothing with this side. I do think San Francisco walks away with the victory. I think it makes a lot of sense to do what all the public is doing, tease both favorites down to just having to win their games, going through the 7 and the 3. You're going to get a lot of value on that teaser because it should be costing the books about a -160 to move those two favorites down, and you're only going to have to pay with a 6-point teaser -120 most likely. So that's a lot of value in your favor. But I prefer the Aaron Rodgers rushing prop here. I think he's going to have some good upside. That's the stronger recommendation I have on this one.
Interesting. Thank you, Warren. I appreciate the few minutes. We appreciate your time.
You got it.
Warren Sharp of sharpfootballanalysis.com, sharpfootballstats.com for what it's worth. I tease the Chiefs down and the Packers up, baby. Give me the 17.5 with Aaron Rodgers.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.